No glory. I'm talking about him. Hallelujah. And we trust that he will minister to you. He will take his word and customize it to where you are. He's good for that. Give you some answers, show you some light, direction. You should always come to church with a plan, with a desire to have him help you in some area of life. And he will. He'll never fail you. Never. Whatever he gives me to talk about, he can. Sometimes I start talking about things I didn't even plan on talking about. So forth. So we trust that he'll do that. All right, let's eat. Let's eat the bread of life. Glory to God. Genesis 39. If you're watching us for the first time, you know, we talk about the subject of finances because we're called to do so. You know, in the medical profession, in the legal profession, many other professions, there are specialties. And one of my specialties is the calling to talk about finances. And so let me share a few things with you before we get going, before we get to Genesis 39. First of all, God invented value. God invented value. But for God, we would not know the difference between gold and dirt. Amen. And so, of course, value, when you start talking about value, this is how we start, you know, we measure value in money, do we not? You know, the things that are more valuable cost more. The material things, that is. And all of that heads up in God. And he is very, very, very familiar with all of this. He's it. Hallelujah. And so I've been meditating on these things, and didn't know for sure if I was going to share this part, but I believe that I'm led to. So having plenty of money for you, your family, and for others, okay? All of those three parts of it is important. For you, your family, and others is the third priority, the third highest priority of life. Think of it. And so naturally, the scriptures have a lot to say about it. Naturally, God knows that. And he has laid up stuff for us that a whole lot of hadn't even heard of. Amen. Well, you said, and what's the first? Well, obviously, the first priority of would be knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. My. Nothing else comes close. Knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. My goodness. Priority number one. By a thousand miles. I mean, by an infinite number of miles. That is the first priority, without a doubt. Nothing else comes close. Hallelujah. Because he is life, and life more abundant. Second priority will be family. Second highest priority will be family. The richness of your family life and relationships is absolutely up there in terms of the priorities of life. Jesus, family, and the third is having plenty of money for you, your family, and others. Amen. You say, now what about health? You know, you have enough money, you eat well. And that has everything to do with your health. You have enough money, you can fly and go anywhere you have to get medical, whatever medical procedure there is. Amen. After you receive Jesus and you put family, money comes next. What about love? Well, there's no better mechanism of showing love than having plenty of money. Amen. They say a friend in need is a friend indeed. Huh? When you are in need, when you know who your friends are. Those who just talk about it, those who really are friends. The most portable way of showing your love. You can take your love and send it to Japan, right as we speak. Amen. With money. God knows it, and He has prepared. Oh my. Like scripture said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hadn't even entered into the heart of natural man. Things that God has revealed, has reserved for us. But you see, He reveals them by His Spirit, and unfortunately, too many Christians don't look there. They look to their job, they look to their business, look to the government, look to their relatives, look to everybody, everywhere but to God. And so I'm called to make a difference in that. I'm called to make a difference in that. Most people are hurting financially more than in any area of life. You talk about immigration. Why is it a whole bunch of folks are living in Asia, Africa, and so forth to go to Europe or America? It's money. That's what it is. For the most part. They tell us, well, you know, they're being persecuted and so forth. The biggest, most of these folks are economic refugees. Money. Amen. Most people around this world are hurting for lack of money more than lack of anything else. And God's word has a solution. It does. And if it didn't, it would be a big miss. Does God care? Of course He does. Does He have a plan? Of course He does. But look at Romans chapter 10. Here's where people like me come into place. Who have not talked enough about this subject matter. And also because Christians have not allowed much teaching about this. Because they've allowed the devil to make him uncomfortable and will not receive and act on what God says. But here is Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, what does that word say? Soteres in the Greek means you know, safety, it means prosperity, it means healing, it means saved from everything that you want to be saved from. Amen. Including your finances. Amen. You can be saved. But how then shall they call on Him on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Huh? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's the problem. One of the big ones. We haven't been taught. And we can't blame all our pastors and teachers. Too many Christians have not wanted to be taught because of the enemy stirring things up, because of some of the mistakes some folks have made. But you know, some of us are called to do it, and so we're going to keep pressing on. Amen. Here's something I just thought about. Just sitting on my desk and thinking about this and all that. You take $1, okay? 10 cents of that is supposed to go to God. About 40 cents of that in town pass has gone to the federal government. I think that's been the, every now and then it goes up, comes down, but you know, the top tax rate. 10 cents to state and local governments, you know, property taxes, sales taxes, all that. So now you're down to 40 cents. 10 cents to others. And 30 cents to you and your family. How much money would you have to make to make this work. Amen. Not all four figures or five figures of, you know, this is in the seven figure territory to make it work, right? Amen. And only knowledge of God's word on this subject matter will take us there. You know? Okay, let me give that to you again. Take $1, 10 cents goes to God, 40 cents, you know, the government wants his part, you know. 40 cents goes to the federal government, in this country that is. Because to do this, have it work right, you're going to be in that tax bracket. Oh, yeah. You're not going to be no 15%. Nah, you're going to be way up there. And do it gladly.
Amen.
Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Some stuff belongs to Caesar. Some of that dollar belongs to Caesar. Jesus said it. Give to God what belongs to God. So we can't begrudge the government its portion of it. We wish it would want a little less than it does. Oh my. 10 cents to God, 40 cents to the federal government, another 10 cents to state and local governments. So now you got 60 cents of the dollar gone, or taken care of, or, you know, or given. 10 cents to others. You know? I don't know about you, but I'm not doing in that department as well as I'd like to. Amen. And then 30 cents of the dollar to you and your family. I believe this ratio would be pleasing to God. And to get there, we're going to have to know a lot more about what the Bible says about it. Be more obedient. Believe God and have Him bring you to that place. All right, Genesis 39. Look at verse 5. The reason why we talk about this, God has a plan. Look at verse 5. Genesis 39:5. It came to pass from the time that Potiphar had made Joseph overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Wow. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. I want to talk to you about how much more prosperity. How much more prosperity? My goodness. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. How much more Joseph? If the Lord will bless people because of their association with you, how much more you? If He rubs off on you to them, where does that leave you? My goodness. How much more prosperity? My. No wonder Joseph had to get out of there and become assistant Pharaoh. The blessing on him was so much, he couldn't be, that jailhouse couldn't contain him. Eventually left there, the Potiphar's house was too small. Because the system Pharaoh and his influence, which is way past Egypt, folks are coming from everywhere to come get sustenance from the hands of Joseph. How much more? I bless you, make you a blessing. Well, how much more do you have to be a blessing? Most of the church not thinking about that. Look at Galatians chapter 6. How much more prosperity? God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph.
Well,
whoo, glory. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Thank you, Lord. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially. How much more? More especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, if God tells us to do that, do you suppose that He does the same? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How much more prosperity? Thank you, Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God. Verse number, let's see where we start. Well, we could start from 24, but we won't. Let's go straight to, you're familiar with this, right? Let's go to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Here's the problem. Huh? Here's the problem. O ye of little faith. That's the church's problem. You know, we spend too much, and my mind, I'm letting my mind be renewed to this. We spend too much thinking about how much and where to cut. Can I get a witness? Instead of spending more time to pray it in, pray more in. If God, and He does, takes care of grass, how much more us, His kids? The issue, the problem is little faith. Little expectation for Him to do it. We're not looking for Him to do it. That's like somebody, you know, stretching their hand to give you something and you're not even looking over there. Huh? No connection. No connection. That connection will never be made. They can stand there all day long with their hands stretched out. But if you're not looking over there, you're eventually going to walk away. That's what God is. That's what the church is. How much more prosperity? You know, we live around here. They just get up in the morning, start eating. Eating the grass. Poop all over the place. Go to bed. Get up. Eat. They don't have any bank accounts. They don't farm. They don't grow anything. I guess they help manure the whole place or something. You know? God. You know how many bugs there are? Billions. God handles all that. How much more? How much more? Those of us made in His image. Problem is, we don't expect it. We expect life to be with us as it is with everybody else. You know. Like Paul says, we live like mere humans. Not ones that have been born again. Hallelujah. New species of being. Should be new expectation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That assurance, doesn't matter what happens on Wall Street, I have some assurance. Glory to God. Expectation. For much more prosperity. That's what's lacking. And that expectation comes by information, knowledge. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We were right there. Chapter 7. Look at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. My goodness. He's ready. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Somebody said, I ask, I don't know if I receive. Well, maybe you didn't ask. You thought you did ask. We'll talk about it in a minute. Amen? What does it mean to ask? If you ask and you didn't receive, then either you or God lied about something. Right? Can we be that stark about it? Amen. He said, ask and you receive. If you said you asked and you didn't receive, one of you is lying. And guess what? We're going to pick you, not God. Amen. Could be you thought you asked, but you really didn't. He says, everyone that asks can receive it. Everyone. Do you believe that? I do. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To whom that knocketh, shall be opened. And then he compares it to us humans. Says, if you don't believe me, what? How about I talk to you about a parent? What man of you is there, of whom his son asks bread, will instead give him a stone? Will you do that? You won't. How much more him? See? How much more him? We know this about each other, about humans. How much more him? Why is it we don't expect that of him? What an insult to expect that of a good father, good mother, but not of him. Is he a bad father? Ah. Or if he has a fish, we instead give him a serpent. Oh my goodness. If you then, being evil, being natural, know to do better than that, to give good gifts to your own children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things? Did you notice that? Things. Cars, houses, money, things to them that ask him. So it seems like we should talk about this asking business. Some people think they're asking when they're not. So let's talk about asking. So we can have much more and enjoy much more prosperity. Asking, to ask biblically, you have to know that you're not asking so that he can give it to you. You can't be thinking, I gotta ask, and then see if he'll say yes or no. See, if that's your frame of mind, you're not ready to ask. You're gonna do it wrong, right from the get-go. If you're thinking, this is like submitting a petition to the mayor of the city or something. you've got it wrong to begin with. Asking is knowing that he has already given. If you don't know that, you're not in a position to even ask. Because your mind is not renewed to it. You have to know that he has already given. You're not trying to pry this out of his hands. If you don't use just the right words, you might not get it. If you don't have the right clothes on, the right attitude, you might not. You're not ready to ask. The Bible says to come boldly, like you expect to receive something, to the throne of grace. Not timidly, sheepishly, you know, will he, is in a good mood today or not? That's the picture most Christians have in their mind when they go to praying. Pray for me. About what? Have you ever asked anybody, next time somebody asks you, pray for me, ask them about what? You'd be shocked. They're going to go, they'd be absolutely stunned. They have no idea. This is just some religious exercise. Pray for me. About what? I don't know. Just anything you want. I'll pray for you that truck hits you down the road. Is that what you want? We're too religious about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then of course we talk like the world. I watch news and they say we keep them in our thoughts. What does that mean? Keep us on your thoughts. Do you know there's no power in that? I mean, it sounds good. Makes us feel good. But there's no production there. You mean keeping your thoughts. Well, what does that mean? It's one thing for the world to talk like that, but Christian people, keep you in my prayers. Oh, Jesus, help us. Thank you for that. You have to know that He has already given. Whatever you are going to think good about, if it's good, He's already given it. Know that He's already given, that you are wanting to claim a portion of what He has already given. That's the frame of mind you have to pray or to ask. Look at 1 John 15. We're talking about much more prosperity. He says, if you ask, you receive. Oh, my. I believe that. Ooh, because it's not a man that he should lie. 1 John 15, look at verse 4. 1 John 15. There's no such, okay? Yeah. It reminds me of the story. I've told it before, but bears repeating. I was in church one time. I was a student at Old Roberts University. I think it was a chapel, some kind of service on campus. Sitting next to this lady. So I have this exact Bible I have now. Okay, the Copeland Bible. And he's got notes up front. I mean, let me show you. This is where Genesis 1 starts. Okay, this is Genesis 1. So you got all this stuff, you know. And so I think they said in Genesis or something. And she looked over, and I'm way into the Bible. I could tell. Oh, she looked at me. What kind of Bible have you got? How far do you have to go to get Genesis? Okay, so there's no 1 John 15, all right? 1 John 5, 14. 1 John 5, 14. It says, and this is the confidence. Oh, see, before you pray, you have to have confidence about the answer. Amen. You know, that's even operative among friends, among human friends, you know? One reason why you ask a friend for some kind of favor is because you are friends. There's some sort of expectation there. Too many Christians don't even have that when it comes to God. Haven't been taught. Or haven't caught it. That He is so much more disposed to show you favor. I'm going to my other message, but that's fine too. Than any human being could ever be. Which is why you can come with confidence. You can come boldly. Asking not to see if He'll grant it, knowing He has already granted it. Will you write a check? You're not hoping that the money gets to the bank before the check gets there. Oh, you're going to go to jail. You write a check on money that's already in the bank. Hallelujah. This money is already in the bank. We don't ask. I think you got that. You got that. You write a check on money that's already there. You ask already knowing that it's yours. This is just the formality it takes to receive it. Much more prosperity. How much more? This is the confidence that we have in Him. Oh my. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We are confident because it's His will that it's a done deal. Glory to God. And then He says, and if we know, too many Christians pray without knowing. They just throw a scarab down, see if something sticks. If we know, and if we know that He hears us, what makes us know? Because we act according to His will. He wants me healed. So when it comes to healing, I have no doubt at all, not an iota of it, that this stuff is not supposed to be in my body. Not a doubt, not a shadow of a doubt. Maybe that's why it doesn't work for some Christians, even folks, faith folks. What are faith folks? There's no confidence in there. It's just a confession, 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 confession. A confession is nothing if there's no confidence there. Amen. Like I've said before, when my head aches or starts to ache, I have no doubt at all that it's not supposed to be there. So when I say, mm-mm, and sometimes that's the extent of my prayer, it's gone. Has to go. Because of the confidence, because of knowing that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. This is asking. This is Bible asking. I like that. I like that illustration. Writing a check, money's in the bank. Not hoping and praying and wishing that before they cash it, it'll be. No, it's already there. It's already there waiting on the check. Ooh, glory. Amen. Amen. Much more prosperity. How much more prosperity? What's my time? Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 Peter 1. We've read this. I haven't read it lately, but 2 Peter 1. This is where we know that it's already given to us. 2 Peter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. There he goes, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has already given, not gonna give, probably, maybe, so, hopefully, so, no, has already given to us. Not thinking about giving to us. He has already given unto us all things that have to do with living this life and living it in a godly manner. In a way that reflects on God well. Now, how has He given it? He has given it through the knowledge. There we go again. Huh? If you don't know, then there's no confidence. Then prayer becomes a scatter, you know, let's just see if any of this works. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Man! Wow! He didn't have to go that extent, but He wanted us to get it. We have exceeding great and precious promises that we have to know about. See, that way our prayer is a formality to receive what's been given, so that we can have much more prosperity. That by these you might be partakers. Huh? What does it mean to be a partaker? To share. Huh? That I want for to partake, to share. Partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature? Divine nature? Oh yeah. He's in us. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As he is, so are we in this world. There are several scriptures on those lines. In other words, he wants us to live on earth as if we're already in heaven. What's his nature? Without sickness, without disease, without depression, and with plenty of money. He's not poor. He's not broke. He wants us to share in that nature, to partake of it through these promises that we have to know about, huh? Which in turn creates the confidence it takes to ask. That we might enjoy much more prosperity. We partake of the precious promises by knowing, believing, and declaring them. Look at Mark 11. I know you can quote it. Let's go over there and read it. We have to know the promises, these precious promises. Know them, believe them, and declare them until they manifest. See, that's really truly asking. Huh? Hallelujah. I tried to go to Mark 11, I'm in the book of Acts 11.
That's something.
Ooh, glory. Know the promises. Know what they say. Believe them. What does it mean to believe? I gave you a definition of that a long time ago. It's still the same. To believe is to receive the information as fact without any evidence other than the Bible says so. That's believing. So, know the promises, accept them as fact because the Bible says so, and then declare them. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering said unto them, they were shocked because he said something and it came to pass. And Jesus basically said, hey guys, this is no big deal. You can do this too. That's what he told them. You can do this too. Huh? Have faith in God. Just like that's what made it happen. I have faith in God. Truly I say unto you, that whosoever, huh? You can do it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, problem, issue, situation. See, this is brain right here. This is brain. To pray is to say about a situation what God has said about it. That's the definition of prayer. That's the definition of asking. Be that removed, be that cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's ask it. Know the promises, precious promises. Believe them and declare them until they manifest. That's the path to much more prosperity. How much more? Again, God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. How much more Joseph? How much more Joseph? Again, no wonder he got to be for Potiphar's house. Had to go to Pharaoh's house. My goodness. What an example. Amen?
Amen?
That's where I'm headed. What about you? Glory to God. My goodness. Amen, amen. Okay. If you're watching us and you think that this is revelation, motion here, you can help us do so. There's a place there on Facebook where you can give to a church as the Lord leads you. And here we will receive our tithes or offerings, as the case may be, at the end of service. All right? Let's talk about grace. We've been talking about law and grace. And we haven't said everything that can be said about the law, but, you know, there are other things to talk about, so we'll may revisit that in the future. So I want to go ahead and talk about grace today. Ah, my. Grace. What is grace? Grace is God's wonderful and favorable disposition towards man. Mm-hmm. My goodness. God has a favorable disposition where you're concerned. God is in your corner. In fact, God is in everybody's corner, even if they're not in His. That's grace. Look at Psalm 8. Here is grace in action. Psalm 8. Verse number 1. And this is an angel speaking. We know about that because of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that. We're not going to turn to that, but Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all of the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. You know, we hear the word glory, and religion will tell you that only deals with God. Come to find out, it deals with us. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has that ordained strength because of thine enemies. Look at verse 3. Here's the angel wondering. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? In the light of the sun and the moon, all that, what is this thing called man that you are mindful of him? Why does he even matter? And the son of man that thou visitest him. For you have made him a little lower than the angel. May I remind you, the word angel is the word that is translated Elohim. Man was made a little lower than God himself. He did that. That's favor. Huh? That's grace. He didn't make animals like that. He didn't make the angels like that. But he made man like that. God made man so much like him that God could become man. Think of that. God can become an elephant. He cannot. Elephants are not in this class. My goodness. That's grace. That's grace. The most common definition of grace is unmerited favor. He decided to do it. For no, reason, just because he wanted to. To make us just a tidbit below him. But in his class. Again, God made man so nearly like himself that God could become man. Glory to God. And did become man. But it became necessary to redeem man. That's grace. He could have said, dime a dozen. Yeah. But no. For thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim, And then you have crowned him with glory and honor. Huh? God did that. God gave us glory. Unfortunately, glory departed from Adam and Eve, but the second Adam came and restored it. Now the glory of God is in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. My goodness. We have been graced with the presence of God. I will never leave you or forsake you. Imagine that. No wonder this angel is like, what is this? What is this creature? Why do they matter so much? That's grace. He says, verse 6, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus said, whosoever shall say. Huh? Because we are created and endowed with authority. He put all things under his feet. All of the sheep and the oxen, yea, even the beasts of the fields, the grizzly bear too. You know what? This is one reason why, you know, this AI business, and you can see some of it, you know. Well, what happens if machines took over? And I don't take over me. Shouldn't take over you either. I have the name. My goodness. I have the name. I have the glory. I have the honor. Those machines are under my feet. In the name of Jesus. What if they go haywire? You know, they talk about making, what you call them things that do things for you? Robots. You know. What if the robots, they're like that? What's that movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in? All that. What if robots take over and try to crash you out? You point your finger and say, stop in the name of Jesus. And they have to. They have to. But see, that comes with knowing. Huh? That confidence comes with knowing. It comes with knowing who you are. Whose you are. Knowing what's invested in the name of Jesus. We talked about that too. So don't you worry. As long as you got his name, you got it made in the shade. Glory to God. I tell you, one of the best things about being a Christian, being a word Christian, is being absolutely unflappable. It's just like, I don't care what happens. I've got the blood. I've got the name. The Father of the air, all of that. This is the grace of God. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to. Hallelujah. The grace of God. The grace is God's goodwill toward man. You take the most powerful being that's ever been, and they like you. better. They love you. How's that? That's even better. Huh? Predisposed to come to your aid any time, day or night. Think of it. That's grace. You remember what the angel told the shepherds, did he not? When Jesus was born? Look at Luke chapter 2. Maybe you don't remember. I'm sure you do, but Luke chapter 2. Disposition of God. This is what it takes to have confidence about the future. You hear me say some stuff and so forth. That's coming from a place of confidence about Jesus, about his word, about his blood, about his name. And the fact that I believe it. I believe this book. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What does a Savior do? Saves. Saves from what? Anything you want saving from. Hallelujah. I hope I'm helping you. I'm teaching me happy. Glory to God. Which is Christ the Lord. And you read down to verse 14. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, here comes peace. Here comes grace. Goodwill toward men. God is predisposed to show you favor. That's grace. Grace is an aspect of the love of God. These things are related. I mean, we separate them to talk about them, but they're quite related. The grace of God is the love of God, because love is what makes him want to help you for no reason at all. Yeah, you know. That's why he put you in his family. Why he takes responsibility for you. If you do your, just do your little bitty tiny part of believing. Grace is why God created man in his own image. I already said that. He didn't create angels in his image. Didn't create animals in his image. But he created us in his image. That's grace. Grace is why the plan of redemption was put in place when man was lost. You remember, do you not? When Lucifer sinned and convinced a third of the angels to follow him, there was no plan of redemption for them. He was kicked out. No plan of redemption. But when man sinned, we got this one about this. We, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we got this one about this. And the Son said, I'll go to get the job done. I'll go redeem them. Think about this. If you're God and you form this thing from the clay, huh? You got plenty more clay, do you not? Amen. You form this thing from the clay, you breathe into the breath of life, and then it messes up. You could toss it aside and go on about your business. But no, let's redeem him. And then consider the price it cost. What the price was to redeem man. That's grace. I mean, knowing all of this buttresses your faith. This is all connected. God became man. If you were God, I've said it before, I said it bears repeating. What is it about man that will cause you to say, well, I'm gonna step down from being God for a few years. Come down there, be born as a man. Why would I want to do that? Suffer and be lied on and be, you know, all that. The plan of redemption is grace in action. Oh my, oh my. Most common definition of grace, of course, is God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Divine favor. Grace is divine favor. The favor of God. Huh? We're not talking about the favor of the most powerful person on the planet, President of the U.S. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the favor of the richest person on the planet, Elon Musk. We're not talking about that. We're talking about favor with God. There are certain things the President of the United States can't do for you. The richest person on the planet can't do for you. Even if they're predisposed to do it, they can't. But here is a person who can do anything about everything and is predisposed to do so. Better yet, has already done it. for you. That's grace. That's grace. Hallelujah. My. I'll end with this. Look at Genesis. Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Thank you, Lord. You remember Noah. Genesis 6. Verse 6. And God saw, verse 5, Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I have not been able to imagine that state of being. Well, that you are, man had gone to a point. All of them. It's hard to conceive of that. To where that they thought all day long, every day, every night, was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him. Hurt him. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, reluctantly, have to do it. See, God never, thank you, Lord. God never runs out of mercy, he just runs out of time. Huh? Certain things have to happen at certain times. Huh? He never runs out of mercy. But there comes a time when we have to move on. The next thing on the agenda has to happen. And so he waited. That's grace. Huh? Waited until there was only one man. Think of it. The whole planet. Only one person remaining. And he thought, if I don't do it now, I'm going to lose him forever. My goodness. You know the story. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, whom I have created my image. I have to do it. Even though, can you see that? Know all that? Both man and beast and the creeping things and the fire and so on. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? He waited and waited and waited because of grace. Well, there was only one person left, and he had to bring judgment. He's a gracious God. Hallelujah. As long as you remember that he is predisposed to show you favor, it makes no difference what the devil wants to do. Absolutely not. That's why you can approach this Christian life with confidence. With a confident assurance that you see terrible things happen. Help me, Jesus. As I said, I just remember that accident, that helicopter accident in New York. Family of five. After, we all been on vacation. You go on those trips. Last time we went to Mexico, our son and daughter took off. I've thought about that many times since. To go on some, so what was it, a cruise, what did you call it? Just going to the Gulf of Mexico, go see some stuff. And after a while I was thinking, I don't know these people. What did I let them go with my children for? Afterwards I thought, why did you do that? Yeah, they are adults, yeah, but I don't know if there's a guy with them. Thank God for his grace. Amen. They came back safe.
came back safe.
Woo, brother. So this time, little five, after seeing New York from a helicopter, and it just breaks into pieces up there in the air. Collapses and they all die. Imagine that. And then imagine you saying, that would never happen to me. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of Almighty God. That's who I am. What about you? He would know that helicopter is no good and will tell you, don't do it. Don't go in it. Unless you're not paying attention. Huh? Folks, this is vital Christianity. Not this church stuff. Too many folks are engaged in. We are not mere humans. Blood has been shed. He is predisposed to show us favor. He doesn't want us ending up like that. That's not God's will, is it? You're about to go have fun with you and your wife and three kids and go up there and the helicopter just break into pieces? Does his favor reach far enough to keep that thing flying until you land? Oh, my. But because of lack of knowledge, lack of certainty, too many of us don't allow our mind to go that direction. But we should. We should. Why? Because he is predisposed to show us favor. And there's nothing like the favor of God. Huh? Nothing like that. Okay, I've spoken long enough. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We pray for that family, Lord. The rest of the family, grandparents, both sides. We grant them your peace because of this accident. Thank you, Father, for sending someone across their path, if they don't know you, to introduce them to the God of peace, the Prince of Peace. We declare that nothing like this ever happens to this family again. As they cooperate with your plan. Because we know this was not your will. Those of you that name the name of Jesus, those of us that name the name of Jesus, will make sure to walk close enough to you, to hear you, lead and guide us. From disasters such as this. Because we know that's available because of your favorable disposition to us. We thank you for it. We receive all of your favor. And we pass it on. We pass it on. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? This person that died for you. You talk about being disposed to show you favor. Up to the point of dying for you. It's time you got born again. Don't put it off for tomorrow, day after. Hallelujah. Receive him today. Because the truth is, like the Wynon song says, if you don't know Jesus, tomorrow is not promised you. It's not. If you do, oh yeah. Ooh, plenty tomorrows. Amen. That's one practical difference it makes. So receive him today. Receive him today. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord, and my Savior. I receive my prayer language. I receive healing for my body, my finances, my family relationships, my calling in life, the job or business that I happen to be involved in right now. I receive the perfect will of God in all of those areas. I receive wholeness in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you pray that prayer, be in expectation. Because that's the only part you have to contribute. He has done everything else. And if you live around here in the Austin area, come see us. It's better when you're alive than not. But if you're not, keep watching, because we're going to be back here same time next week. Love you. Amen. Glory to God.